declare that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, my ears are open, and I better not go to sleep. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. As we close out this year, my wife and my staff can tell you that I wanted to get ready for the new year before the new year got here. Everybody say, you got to get ready before you can be ready. And so one of the things that I knew I could do to get ready or be prepared was to fast and prepare myself. Fasting will weaken your physical man so that you're in a better position to hear your spiritual man. Look at your neighbor and say, I think you need to turn the plate over. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I decided to fast. And on the second day of fasting, I decided to come up here, spend some time in prayer, to study and to meditate. And I didn't know what direction I was going in with the lesson today. And so as I was walking the parking lot praying, the Spirit of God spoke clearly to me a specific word that I want to give you today. And if there's any time that I knew that what I'm about to teach is for everybody, it's today. So just look at one more neighbor and tell them, this is for you today. Mm-hmm. I got your address, I got your phone number, and I got your zip code today. So the message title, if you're taking notes or if you need the notes, just raise your hands and our ushers will give you a copy of the notes today, and you're going to need them. Our title is Prepare Your Heart to Seek. Prepare Your Heart to Seek. And this lines right up with where my heart is for the upcoming year. And now let me warn you in advance. Look at one more time and say, this is a warning right here. Let me warn you that this message, this is not a candy message. You know how candy tastes good. No, this is not a candy message. This is not a filler message where, you know, it's all vegetables. And No. This is a message for meat eaters. So if you're a vegetarian, you may want to leave. This is a meat message. And the goal of the message today is to get our hearts in a posture to seek God. Say amen to that. So we're going to start out in 2 Chronicles chapter 19. And this is talking about a king. And his name was Jehoshaphat. So in verse 1 it says, and Jehoshaphat, who was the king of Judah, he returned to his house in peace to Jerusalem. And Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer — in those days, seers were like prophets — they went out to meet with Jehoshaphat. And so they said to the king, should you help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? He said, because of that, the wrath is upon you from the Lord. Look in verse 3. Nevertheless, there are some good things found in you. Everybody say, I got some good things in me. He said, nevertheless, there are some good things found in you, in that, watch this now, you have taken away the groves out of the land. The word groves also means idols. He says, you've taken groves out of the land, and, everybody say, and. Here's the second thing. He says, and you have what, church? Come on, church. Prepared. You have prepared, read it with me, thine heart to seek God. Because you have to prepare your heart to seek God. And Jehoshaphat set his heart and prepared his heart to seek God. And that's what you and I have to do. And what I'm challenging us to do is to do that before 2026 hits. Now, what I want to do is kind of give some illustrations that will help everybody understand why preparation is so important. So how many previous athletes do we have in the room? Any previous athletes? Let me see. Hey, if you're online, just give me a thumbs up. You know, think about this. If a person ran track and you were a good track person, you wouldn't wait until the day of the track meet to get ready. No, what you would do is train and practice and prepare days before the track meet. Can you imagine a track, someone who ran track, waited until the day of the track meet to try to prepare themselves? Well, what would probably happen is they probably wouldn't do their best. And it's not because they weren't a good athlete. It's not because they couldn't run. It's not because they weren't fast. It would be because they didn't what, church? They didn't prepare. Okay, I didn't get everybody on that one, so let me go to another one. How many can cook? Any cookers in there? Any people that can burn? All right. Well, let's use the example that I think you can relate to. All right. Let's say you're going to cook New Year's Eve dinner for the family in 2026. And so let's say you go to Costco or wherever and you buy all the ingredients for the food, but you don't prepare the food that you buy. In other words, you don't clean the chicken. That's a no-no. You don't clean the turkey. You don't clean the chitlins either. You don't wash and clean the potatoes. In other words, you bought some food, but you're not prepared. Listen, not only that, you just put the food out just the way you bought it. You didn't even prepare the food. Well, I can promise you that meal is not going to be good. Nobody, I guarantee you, is going to want that food except for Toto. Why? Why would that meal not be good? Is it because the ingredients weren't good? No. Is it because you can't cook? No. Why is it? It's because you did not. Come on, church, you did not. You did not prepare the food. Well, I don't think I got everybody. Let me hit the students in the room. You didn't do bad on that test because you didn't know how to learn. You didn't do bad on that test because your brain was left until last week. No, you did not do good on that test because you did not prepare for that test. And as we read, we could see that Jehoshaphat did some things wrong, but the two things that he did right is that he prepared his heart to seek the Lord, which brings us to our first point, which is preparation involves separation. Everybody say preparation involves separation. So let's reread 2 Chronicles 19 very quickly. I'm going to read it out of the King James, and then I'm going to read it in the Amplified. It says, "Nevertheless, there are good things found in you, in that you have taken away the groves out of the land and prepared," everybody say prepared, "prepared your heart to do what? Seek God." Listen to the Amplified. "But there are some good things found in you, Word of Truth Family Church, for you have removed the Asherah idols." I want you to notice that these idols had names. And see, you may not know, but you have some idols in your life. And some of those idols, in fact, all of them have a name. And my goal, and I'm praying that by the end of the message, the Holy Spirit is going to surface some idols that you may not even know you got. It says they've removed Asherah idols from the land. And, everybody say and. And you have set your heart to seek God with your soul's desire. Everybody say preparation involves separation. Now, when I read this verse, what's interesting, I asked myself the question, because that's how I study. I asked myself, well, why did Jehoshaphat remove the idols before he prepared his heart to seek the Lord? Because you would think that you first set yourself to seek the Lord and then you remove idols. But that's not what he did. But what I do know and notice that he did is what he did and the order in which he did it lines up with God's word. Because watch this, in Exodus chapter 20, God gave a first commandment. Everybody say first commandment. The first commandment means it outweighs every other commandment. In other words, the first commandment, it outweighs the other nine. Well, what Jehoshaphat did, in other words, he removed the idols and then he set his heart to seek the Lord. That was in the order of the commandments that God gave. Listen to Exodus 20. It says, "And God spoke all these words saying, I am the Lord your God who have brought you out of the land of Egypt. I brought you out of sin through Jesus Christ, out of the house of bondage." Watch verse 3. "You shall have how many? no other gods before me. Stop, church. If he's saying to not have no other gods before him, that says it is possible to have some gods before God. He says, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make any graven images or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, that is in the earth beneath, or that is even in the water under the earth. Watch verse 5. He says, you shall not bow yourself down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord, your God, is a what kind of God, church? He says, I'm a jealous God, and I visit the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and the fourth generation, even upon those who hate me. And then he goes on to say, but I will show mercy unto thousands of them that love me and that those who keep my commandments. Everybody say preparation involves separation. In other words, what I'm saying, church, is if we are going to prepare our hearts to seek the Lord, we must first get ready to separate ourselves from some things. Now, if you know anything about washing clothes, I learned early in life that if you're going to properly wash clothes, you have to separate the colors of the clothes before you put them all in the washing machine. If you don't separate the clothes, the colors in the clothes will transfer one to another. In other words, your white socks are going to come out pink because you had something red in the washing machine. Any witnesses in the house? Absolutely. So watch this. Here's a take-home statement that I want to want you to take home with you. If you don't separate, you will contaminate. See, there's some idols in your life that you may not be aware of right now. And the problem is those idols will contaminate you. And watch this. Anything that's an idol means that that thing is before God. In other words, it's between me and it's between me and God. And there's some things that he may want me to do, but my idol is not letting me do it. And I don't want us to go into 2026 the way 2025 was. Even if you had a great 2025 year, you got to realize that we serve a God who does exceeding and abundantly above all that we could ask, think, or imagine. Look, you can't just be like, oh, I want another 2025. Now, what you're saying is, I don't think God can do better. Look at your neighbor and say, God can do better. And so this is why, listen, church, the order in which Jehoshaphat did what he did was so important. So here, how can you and I set our hearts to seek God when we have idols before him? So let's do this. Let me define what an idol is so we're both on everybody's on the same page. An idol is anything. Everybody say anything. So we're not just talking about something physical, because you have to remember, he said the idols were where? In the heart. So most of us, when we read the Bible, we're thinking about physical idols, which they had those too. But he said, no, these idols that he's talking about are idols in our hearts. And so it's anything that takes God's place in our hearts. So that means my thoughts can be an idol. My attitude can be an idol. My weaknesses can be an idol. Touch your neighbor, say, he found your address already. An idol is anything that takes God's place in our hearts, that takes God's place in our attention, who takes God's place in us trusting him and our obedience to him. In other words, idols is your go-to. So what's your go-to? Look at somebody you don't know and ask them, what's your go-to? Go on and ask them. Now look at them again and say, that ain't none of your business. What's your go-to? When the pressure is on, when life is getting hard, when difficulty is there, when things are not going right, what's your go-to? What is your go-to? I'm going to be nice this morning. I promise you I'm going to be nice. So let me give you real quickly 5 facts about idols. Because God wants to demolish the idols in our life so that our connection with him is clearer. And what he's doing with this message is not just going to demolish idols in our lives and in our church. It's going to demolish idols in our region. Because God wants to do some glorious things in Texas. and wherever you are. Here are five facts about idols. Here's number one. Idols are easily formed because we were created to worship. Everybody that God made is created to worship. And that's why people who think that they are atheists don't really realize that they still are idolizing something. Amen. Here's a take-home thought. Everybody say, Idols start with thoughts and then they take over our heart. See, the gateway to the heart are your thoughts. And so what happens with idols, listen, it penetrates our thoughts. And then if our thoughts stay there long enough, our heart now gets taken over. Listen to Ezekiel chapter 14, verses 1 in the New Living Translation. This is Ezekiel talking, and he says, then some of the leaders of Israel visited me. And while they were sitting with me, this message came to me from the Lord. He says, son of man, these leaders have set up idols where, church? Come on, church. In their hearts. They have it. Watch this now. Listen to what idols do. They have embraced things. Watch this, church. Notice it says they have embraced things. Because idols can be. Come on, church. Idols can be. He said they have embraced things. Watch this now. That will make them fall into sin. And some of you, your repetitive sins is not just because you want to sin. Your repetitive sins are connected to idols. He said they have embraced things that will make them fall into sin. Why should I even listen to their request? He says, tell them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. The people of Israel have set up idols where, church? In their hearts and have fallen into sin. You listen, sin happens because we have idols, and most of us don't know that. We think, oh, it's just, you know, I just met. No. Especially if it's something that's on a regular. So watch what happens. And then they, listen, he said they've set up, they've fallen into sin. And so they go to a prophet. They come to church. I need a message, Lord. Speak to me. And so the Lord will give them the kind of answer their great idolatry deserves. I will do this to capture their minds and hearts of all people who have turned me from me. Watch this. To what? Come on, church, to what? To worship, because idols are designed to be worshiped. He said, they have turned from me to worship their idols. Therefore, tell the people of Israel, tell Word of Truth Family Church, this is what the Lord is saying, repent and turn away from your idols. And when you do that, watch this, church, then you will stop all of your detestable sins. So, the first thing about a fact about an idol is that they are easily formed because we are created to worship. Here's fact number two. The illusion of what idols promise is only something that God can really provide. I'm going to say that again. The illusion, say illusion. The illusion of what idols promise is something only God can provide. In other words, idols always overpromise and underdeliver. See, this is why in some cases, whatever that idol might be, it will cause you to have security. Oh, if I do this, then things will be good. Things will be well. The problem is, if I'm relying on somebody other than God to make that happen in my life, I'm now dependent on an idol. Here's number three. Good things can become bad gods. Everybody say, good things can become bad gods. In other words, church, watch this now. Whatever you treasure will take your heart. Here's number three. Idols erode intimacy because they block the connection we should have with God. See, when an idol is before God, the connection that you need to have with God isn't there. And let me just side note here. When you have idols, the connection that you need with God also can be hindered with your connection with other people. Because idols don't just disconnect you from God, it can disconnect you from people. Say amen to that. Amen. They can block your connection. And this is why you don't get it. But some of you have gods, idols, that is keeping you from connecting. You think you connected and disconnected from your relationship because you're choosing to. What you don't realize is all you're doing is obeying an idol that's in your heart. The idol can be fear. The idol can be pain. So I don't want to feel pain that somebody gave me years ago, so I'm going to keep myself. No, no, no. You can't do that. Here's number four or number five. Idols are always man-made from things we value. Exodus chapter 32, verse 1 through 4. I'm reading out of the easy-to-read translation. It says, the people saw that a long time had passed and Moses had not come down from the mountain. Remember, he was getting the Ten Commandments. So they gathered around Aaron and they said to Aaron, look, Moses led us out of the land of Egypt, but we don't know what has happened to him. So make us some what, church? Make us some gods to go before us and lead us. And so what Aaron should have said is, y'all are talking stupid. We're not going to make an idol with our hands. We're going to wait on what God says to the man of God. But no, Aaron wanted to be friendly. Aaron said to the people, well, bring me the gold earrings that belong to your wives and your sons and your daughters. So the people collected all their gold earrings and they brought them to Aaron. He took the gold from the people and he used it to do what, church? He used it to make an idol, because we make idols out of things we value. And he used a special tool and he shaped that gold into a statue of a calf. How in the world is a calf going to help them? Listen, let me give you a side note. Touch your neighbor and say, this is a side note right here. When people don't hear from God, they make an idol. They could not wait for God to say something, so they made an idol. And you know, your idol may be your own feelings. So what are some idols that you and I can have that may prevent us from preparing our hearts to seek God? Because here's my point. You cannot officially seek God until you have officially removed some idols. So I'm going to give you an obvious one first, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. Here's an obvious idol: money and possessions. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, Jesus said, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Read it with me, church. You cannot serve God and mammon. Listen to the Message translation. I like it. It says, you can't worship two gods at once. Loving one God, you'll end up hating the other one. Adoration of one God feeds contempt for the other one. Read this with me, church. You can't worship God and money both. And boy, when pastors, and I'm not talking about pastors with off hearts, I'm talking about pastors with right hearts. People get upset with pastors with right hearts when they start challenging people to obey God by giving him the first of what they earn. And here's why they get mad. They get angry because you're challenging them to switch gods. Did you hear what I said? See, if you're mad right now, it's because you want to stay with we trust in God that's on that green stuff that's in your pocket, but you're not really trusting in God. You're trusting in the green God. Because, church, whoever gets what we earn first shows who we trust in, shows who we are depending on, and shows who we love the most. Say amen to that. Here's a take-home statement. Anytime we value material security over God's superiority, we have idols. Here's number two. These are idols that you may have, that you may not know you have, is our wills and how we feel. Did you know your feelings can be an idol? In other words, many people don't realize that they are their own God. You know why? Because they will disobey the word based on how they feel. If I feel like it, I'll do it. But if I don't feel like it, I ain't gonna do it. The word, you know, and see, here's the bad part. Most people don't realize God has thoughts that are not ours. And the only way we're going to reach his thoughts is that we have to embrace his thoughts and bring our thoughts down. And here's the problem. We will obey based on how we feel instead of based on how God's will. We went to go see, over the weekend, the family went to go see this movie called David. I want to recommend you to go see it. It's an animated movie. It's a family movie, so you can take your kids. But it's an animated version of David as a boy, you know, eventually coming king as a man. But in this movie, Saul, who was king at the time, saw God, you know, help them to defeat the Philistines, you know, with David and Goliath. Y'all know that whole story. And so when he saw that God helped them defeat the Philistines, he got so cocky. He was like, you know what? Let's go take over this other city, too. I think it was Ziklag in the movie. And so one of his spiritual advisors came to him and said, well, King, should we inquire of the Lord before we just go out and do that? And I want you to hear what Saul said. But don't just look at what he said. Look at it as what we do, too. This is what Saul said in the movie. Well, I'm king, so that means what I'm bidding to do is what God wants to do. Listen, how arrogant is that? That's like me saying, well, I'm the pastor, so that means anything I want to do is what God wants to do. And? Well, I feel this way, and because I feel this way, it's the right way. And? Amen. And so we don't allow the word or the spirit or other people to check us. And let me tell you something that's very dangerous. Because, see, you're either going to function in the spirit or the flesh. Let me tell you something about your flesh. Your flesh, listen, will kill anything that you let it touch. I'm going to say that again. In fact, if they could just zero in on me, can that camera in the middle just come real close? Yeah, come a little closer. Yeah, that is right there. I want to say it. Look at the screen if you have to. I'm going to say it again. Your flesh will kill anything you let it touch. See, I'm one of the fruit eaters in the house. So Charisse will buy me lots of fruit. And when tangerines are in season, I love tangerines. Well, they come in a lot of bags. There'd be a lot of them. And so we had a lot. And so when I was getting down to the bottom, I realized one of the tangerines had started molding and decaying. It was messed up. And so I was like, okay, let me remove that tangerine. And when I moved it, it had leaned on another tangerine, and that tangerine had started rotting too. You know why, church? Because if you don't separate, you will contaminate. And here's the problem. If you let your flesh function in your marriage, it is going to destroy your marriage. If you let your flesh function with how you manage your kids, it is going to destroy your kids' relationship. If you let your flesh be the thing that lets you be on the job, you are going to deteriorate that job. Why? Because in your flesh dwells no good thing. Okay, y'all don't believe me, do me? Galatians chapter 6, verse 8 in the New Living Translation says this. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. Whatever your flesh touches, it's going to kill it. So I want you to think about what's dying in your life right now. Look at your neighbor and say, what's dying in your life right now? You know why it's dying? Because flesh is touching it. He says, but let me finish reading. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest what? Everlasting life from the Spirit. Amen. Here's number three, very quickly. People in relationships. These are idols that we may have that you may not think. Because it's so easy to put our spouses and our children and family before God, and we expect God to understand. The problem is when God needs to work on somebody in your family and you got them, he can't work on them while you got them. Amen.
See, some of you are, the scripture says, train up a child in the way that they should go, and when they get old, they will not depart. Why are you still trying to train them and they 32 years old? That ain't a child, that's a grown, rusty adult. And you still trying to train them. You got to let them go. Give them to God. Let that idol go. I'm talking to some parents in the room right now. Let me go on to the next one. Here's another idol. Image, appearance, and man's approval. See, some of us shop. We don't shop till we drop because we like to shop. We're trying to hold up an image. Amen. Social media has become a lot of people's idols. We spend more time on social media than we do in prayer and the word. Our reputation. We'd rather look good before men by sacrificing looking bad before God. So, everybody say preparation should cause separation. All right, here's number two. Preparation involves purification. See, once you separate, okay, then there needs to be a purification. And church, I'm not just talking about like outside preparation. You know, like I'm going to go to the gym in 2026. I'm going to eat good in 2026. That's good. But I'm talking about preparation from the inside. Here's a take-home statement. The container is only as useful as what's inside of it. So what do you mean by that, Pastor? If you came and brought me a drink in a beautiful cup, but inside the cup was acid, I'm not going to drink it. Why? Because what's in the cup makes the cup invaluable. And our minds are the gateway to what's in our hearts. And this is why idols rest in the heart, but they got in there because of how we think. Say amen to that. Listen, you got to get yourself ready. You got to prepare your heart to seek God. I'm telling you, you can ask my wife and you can ask the staff. I started telling I was going to fast way before I start fasting because I had to tell my mind, you're going to start fasting. I had to tell my soul, you're going to start fasting. I had to tell my flesh, you're going to be fasting. Why? Because if you don't prepare yourself, you won't do it. You get in the middle of the fast and be like, oh, I believe God's spoken. He that spoke, praise the Lord. Listen, church, here's a hard truth right here. Your body and your attitude follows your mind. James chapter 4, verse 7 very quickly says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Do what to the devil? Now, here's why people cannot resist the devil or resist the flesh. Because you have to understand, the devil and the flesh live in the same territory. Okay? So anytime you get on the flesh side, you have just got on the playing field of the devil, and he always has home field advantage. You hear that? And so here's the problem. Most people cannot resist the devil. Here's why. Because they haven't first submitted themselves to God. Okay, what does that look like? What does that sound like? Okay, now when the flesh wants to do it its way, you say, nope, nope, nope. I submit myself to the word. The Bible says, be angry and what? Sin not. But it don't finish there. It's okay to be mad. Now you can't be throwing pots and pans and all that stuff. But it says, be angry but sin not. But then it says, but don't let the sun go down on your wrath. So why are you mad on day number two? That's not submitting to God. When you don't submit to God, you cannot resist the devil. Notice what it said. Submit to God, resist the devil. He will what? Flee. Draw close to God and he will draw close to you. None of that is what I wanted you to focus on. That was extra. Here's the next one. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Here's the part I wanted you to see. What's the next word, church? Purify your hearts, you double-minded. So that says my heart can be impure. And notice it says, purify your heart, you double-minded. Here's a take-home statement. A double mind leads to a clouded heart. See, church, a clear heart hears clearer. So if you're challenged that you can't hear God, maybe you have some idol set up in your heart that's keeping you from hearing him because he's talking. Now, sometimes he don't talk and you can't make him. You got to walk by faith with that. I don't know. Listen, January 25th, this is an advertisement. Touch your neighbor, say this is an advertisement. January 25th is going to be an ordination service where I'm going to be ordained by my pastor and some of my spiritual fathers as an apostle, right? And then I'm going to ordain some ministers and some pastors in our church and all that kind of stuff. Well, watch this. Watch this. I don't know what's next. I'm trying to find out. I'm like, Lord, okay, you're making this a big deal. What's next? He ain't said a word. Amen. The key to, listen, the key to a pure heart, watch this, I'm about to help somebody, is a single mind. Philippians chapter 4. Because, see, a single mind is managed by pure thoughts. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true and whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are what? Pure. I'm going to jump down. He says, if there's any praise and if there's any virtue, think on those things. Here's a take-home thought. Everybody say, A double mind will produce a divided life. You cannot have a double mind and have a whole life. Which leads us to our third point, and I'm closing. Preparation comes before elevation. See, let me say this. God uses things that we might be going through to prepare us. Just like God used sheep to prepare David for the elite. He used things. He used the pit and the palace to prepare Joseph for being prime minister. And so God is using things. But see, here's the problem. Most people, they don't see that God is using these things to elevate us. And so there's a process to elevation that I'm going to give it to you. But I want to read Ezra chapter 7 because this process involves obedience. Everybody say obedience. For, watch what he says, for upon the first day of the first month, listen to what he said, for the first day of which month? What would that be for us? January 1. Look at the Bible being relevant right there, right? He said, but on the first day of the first month, Ezra began to go up from Babylon, and on the first day of the fifth month, he came to Jerusalem, the place of worship, according to the God, good hand of God that was on him. Verse 10, watch this. For Ezra did what, church? He prepared his what? He did what? He prepared his heart. What did he prepare his heart to do? To seek the law of the Lord. In other words, he prepared his heart to seek the word. But you got to remember, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word. Okay, so Ezra was preparing himself to seek God, but then it says, and, everybody say, and to what else? Do it. So many believers are okay with knowledge, but won't take the next step to obey what they know. And that's why we have so many divided-minded Christians in church. This is why we have so many hypocrites in church. You say, is he calling me a hypocrite? Look at your neighbor and say, is he talking to you? I don't want to be a hypocrite with this clock, so. So, church, here is the key to being elevated by God. Here's the formula. Humbleness plus obedience equals exaltation. I'm going to say that again. Humbleness plus obedience equals exaltation. Now, why does humility come before obedience? It's because you can obey without having a right heart. Our kids do it all the time. They mad, and you tell them, go clean your room. And they go in there, and they clean the room, and they doing it. But they attitude, they heart is off. But they know they got to do it because if they don't do it, you're going to apply some pressure to the seating position that they have. First Peter chapter 5, verse 5. This is the last verse here. Likewise, you younger, submit to yourselves to the elder. You all should be subject one to another. Be clothed with what, church? Humility. Watch this. Because God resists who? The proud. But he gives grace and favor to who? The humble. And then verse 6 is powerful because this is something that can't nobody do but you. Humble. Come on, church. Humble who? Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. And when you do that, he will exalt you in due time. How do you humble yourself before God? The next verse tells us you do that by casting all your cares upon him. Because when you cast your cares upon him, the idols that you potentially set up, you'll say, God, I cannot handle this situation. I'm going to give it to you. God, I can't handle how my children are acting. I'm giving that to you. God, I'm scared that I'm going to get laid off of my job. I'm going to give that to you. Lord, I don't like how my spouse is acting. I'm going to give that to you. And what you're saying is, God, I can't handle it. I'm not going to set it up as an idol. I'm not going to operate in the flesh. I'm going to cast that thing on you because you care for me. I'm preaching good today. I'm preaching good today. I'm going to send myself an offering. You watch. Okay, let's close right here. Let's close right here. Here we go. So how do we apply the message today? Because the Bible is no good if we can't apply it. Number one, remove the idols that you know you have. I know you, oh, I just socially drink. Why? Why? Remove the idols you know you have. How do you do that? Confess it, leave it wherever it is, leave whatever it is at the altar so God can consume it. So I think the first Sunday of next year, I'm going to have everybody write down idols that, because the Holy Spirit is going to be talking to y'all. Write them down on a piece of paper. You ain't going to put your name or nothing. And then you're going to ball it up, and we're going to put it in some containers, and then we're going to burn it. Because that's what they did with idols. Number two, this was big right here. Ask the Holy Spirit. Don't ask your mama. Don't ask your best friend. Don't ask your husband. Don't ask your wife. Don't ask your girl. No. Ask the Holy Spirit, do you have some idols that are unknown to you? Here's number three. Prepare. Everybody say prepare. Prepare your hearts for putting God first in 2026 by preparing it right now. You're going to have to do a self-talk. Get your mind ready. Get your will ready. Get your heart ready. Here's number four. Then you need to get your house ready. You say, what do you mean by that? If you got kids, listen. You need to sit down and have a family meeting with your kids. You know, my daddy used to have a family meeting. I'd be like, oh, my God, what is it now? You sit down with your kids. Kids, we're going to church every Sunday in 2026. And you're going, but I don't want to go to church. No, I'm not talking about the kid. I'm talking about you. Pastor, I don't want to go to church every Sunday in 2026. I don't. I ain't talking about if you got to work and all that. Because listen, if you can go to work 5 days a week, why can't you go to church one day a week? If you can get your kids ready for school 5 days a week, why can't you get them ready for church? Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You tell your kids, listen, in 2026, I'm not going to tolerate those bad attitudes that I did in 2025. There are going to be some repercussions next year. And there ain't going to be no little ones. Because, listen, if you start having attitude in 2026 like you did in 2025, you and your technology will have a sabbatical. And then you need to get your flesh ready for 2026. Tell your flesh, I know I've been letting you have your way a lot in 2025. But I'm not doing that in 2026, flesh. In 2026, flesh, I will be crucifying you on a regular basis. Get ready for the fast when we have one. Here's the next one. Get your financial obedience ready. Tell your money. I know I've been doing money my way in 2025, but in 2026, I want more from God. I'm going to obey him. And here's why, church. Because the result of a seek God first life is an added life. Matthew 6:33, I'm closing right here. The Amplified says, but first and most importantly, seek, aim at, strive after his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right, the attitude and the character of God. And then watch this, church, and all these things that these idols been having you chasing, God will just give them to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble in it. And then here's the last thing. Since we're not having no traditional New Year's Eve watch night service and all that stuff, your watch night service is going to be you watching this message on New Year's Eve night. Get into bed and push play. And make sure you don't fall asleep. Because I'm going to tell you something. God cannot bless us if we have idols in front of us. So I hope y'all got something out of the message today. With every head bowed and every eye closed, there are some people in the room